you've heard me preach before, you know that one of the dubious sources of my theology is the movies I watch. And I found something I thought enlightening in the old movie, the first one, Jurassic Park. And in that movie, one of the people visiting the park says of their efforts there, "Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think if they should." As science advances, I think we need to remember that admonition more and more. Just because we can do something doesn't mean it's something that we should do. Now, in our Old Testament story today, the people of Israel decided that they could get a king like other peoples, that they could ask God for a king, they could be like everybody else. So they decided to ask. "We want a king like all of the other nations." They did not stop to think about whether they should ask for such a king. When we can find it in ourselves to worship God instead of a king or multiple kings, we have one ruler to please and to obey instead of multiple rulers. In our time, the kings we think we want are other priorities: jobs, family life, self-validation, status, technology, competition, image, and the approval of others. These are all kings that we have asked for ourselves. Now, while it may seem a bit strong to call those forces demons, the truth is that we have ceded control to forces other than God, multiple forces that we ourselves have chosen. Like people asking in a misguided way for a king, we thought that's what we wanted. But we have no idea what that means in terms of our lack of control in our own lives. It is human nature, and apparently has always been human nature, to want to go with the crowd. Even the Israelites, the chosen people of God, wanted a king to govern us like other nations. They had God, and they wanted a human king like everyone else. Samuel tried to tell them the danger of what they were requesting. He said, in part, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you on that day." Samuel was correct in that the people regretted having kings like the other nations did. But at least that regret and that separation from God was not the final word. Through the Psalms and then through the revelation in Jesus, God's people learned that we needed to have one king, and it needed to be our God. God had not entirely left us to our own misguided wishes. Eventually, we, the people of God, would have a different kind of king. Not the one who would take our family, who would take the products of our work, but a king who had compassion, who helped the poor and lifted up the oppressed, who changed the whole game instead of just reversing where the power was. We see in moments of clarity the beauty of having only God to obey, the beauty of having a loving ruler and no other kings or gods or priorities to focus on. When we can focus on our relationship with God alone, It gives us something that we mention in the post-communion prayer. It gives us singleness of heart. There is great peace in finding singleness of heart, in obeying one king who is loving instead of multiple kings who are out for their own good. Even in the psalm today, we speak of that singleness in a sense. The psalmist says, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart." I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at that. I allow the temporal concerns of life to assert themselves as urgent, and in allowing that those priorities to come in ahead of God, I lose sight of the important. Urgent and important are two entirely different things. Urgent means something has to be done in a timely way. It may or may not be important. Important things are the things that endure, that last. We let the urgent to become those kings like the other people have. We get what we asked for. And in it, we find ourselves divided and anxious because we are trying to please too many kings. One of the commentaries said of this story, "The elders of Israel were wise in diagnosing their trouble. They may not have been so wise in prescribing the cure." Having more people to please, having a king like other nations have, is not going to solve the problem. In our personal lives, having more bluster and false pride will not help. Only the humility of inviting God in to give us singleness of heart will help us. Now, what could happen in my human life if I could become single-minded and single-souled to stop trying to live up to all of those other kings and priorities and goals and expectations? It would be easier for me, with that singleness of heart, to stop accommodating things that I know are wrong. I could stop saying, "Well, we have to go along to get along." I could stop rationalizing that the end justifies the means. I could stop using the phrase "necessary evil." To have singleness of heart, we allow ourselves to admit our weakness so that God can fill us. We look closely beneath the things we say we believe and ask if our lives truly reflect those beliefs. To find and retain singleness of heart, we are perfectly fine if others say that we are out of touch with reality. When we see the good, people are not going to understand. They're going to think that we don't have good sense. But we know that only the things of God are real enough to outlast time and human loss. If we could have singleness of heart, we could say, "I will not dilute my faith so that it looks better and more comfortable to other people. I will not allow myself to slip into the mode of seeing or portraying the good of God as something quaint or misguided or irrelevant. I will let it guide me, that one true, loving King." We can sustain our singleness of heart, which will help us sustain our sanity and our peace, if we choose to answer only to God. We can, like other nations, have a king. We can let all of those other priorities drive us crazy with their false urgency. Yes, we can have a king just like other nations. But maybe we should stop being preoccupied with what we can do and stop to ask if we should. Amen.